So when we talk about child development, we cover four areas of development. So it's physical, social, emotional, cognitive and learning, and language and communication. So we'll have overview of every developmental area, and so we cover every stage in this developmental area. So we start with 0 to 6 months. So the babies at that, when they're born, they feel pain. It used to believe that when newborn baby don't feel any pain, but the actual fact is that studies show that babies feel pain. So, and vision, they have a very limited vision. So newborn do see the world in colors, in same colors, but they have trouble discriminating blues, greens, red, and from yellow. So this is certain colors that they can't really see the difference. 0 to 2 months, they attract high contrast pattern. So if there is pattern around them, so even when you are around and you find babies looking at colors and patterns and all this, it attracts their attention. They focus on objects from 8 to 15 inches away. So further than that, it'd be hard to really see it clearly. Track slowly moving objects. So if the baby's lying down and you go with toys from side to side, they start moving their heads with it slowly. If you're moving slowly, they start to move and get attracted to that movement. So if you lie the baby down and they're dangling objects, they don't have the full physical strength to grab it and all that, but they try randomly move their hands to touch these objects. Hearing. So hearing is very well developed, so they hear really well, but very, very, very soft voices, they won't be able to hear it. So if you whisper, they won't be able to hear it if you're very talking to them soft and they are further from you. Smell, they prefer sweet smells over bitter and acidic smells. So from 9 to 11 months, they walk holding on to the nature. So what happens is before that, they start to stand up and holding into things. And when they have their balance, they start to take steps. But they first have that balance, standing, holding to objects, and then when they feel that they can move, then they move, and then when they start to let go, they take one step. When they balance, they take 2, 3, 4 steps. Okay, so at 10 to 12 months, they stand alone easily. They begin to walk alone after that, as we said. So the overview of 12 to 14 months. In the second year, children start to develop their sensory skills. So they use thumbs and finger, and that's why when they're young, it gives them things that is sensory. Books was for toys that makes sounds and all sensory stuff. So they're very sensory at that age. They're capable of copying simple horizontal lines and building towers. That's 14 to 12 months. So 1.5 to 2 years. They start to copy straight lines. They walk up and down the stairs from 15 to 24 months. So they start to take steps holding on adults' hands. They can scribble with crayon. So you give them the crayon, and they'll scribble. They won't make any face, eyes, ears, or that, but they'll scribble around. Crayon is the best to give them all chalk, because they're easy to draw with and to hold on, especially the big one. It's easy. They can turn over containers and pour out the contents. So So if you have a container that have rice or blocks or anything, you find the kids like to pour out everything. If you give them a bowl full of cereal, they will tip it over. So not that they're misbehaving, they just explore this way. So if you give them the food, a bowl of fruit or anything, and they tip it over, that's not because they, that's what they like to do and explore that way. They master skills of unassisted walking. So they start to walk without assistance. That's from 18 to 12 months, 2 years. They begin to run. So the physical overview from 2 to 3 years. They can make on vertical, horizontal, and circle strokes with pen or crayon. So you can give them the textures, and you can give them crayon, and they start to scribble round circles, horizontal, different things. They're capable in turning, rotating handles. So you found them going to the doorknobs and trying to open and close, and they enjoy that actually. So that's from 26 to 37 months. They're capable in walking up and down the stairs with different feet. So they start with left and right, and they alternate the feet. They're capable of holding the pencil in the writing position the right way. They have the right grip. They can screw and unscrew jars and lids. So they have the strength to screw and unscrew. They're capable of turning pages one at a time. So if you read the book, they found the child is trying to take the next page, to turn the page. Let them do it if they want. They bend over easy without falling. So they have that balance, they can bend over and lean on stuff. They're capable of bending, battling the cycle, so they can start sucking. They run easy. So the physical overview of 3 to 5, it gets more fun as they grow up. They start to choose which hand to write with. We have a lot of questions about right hand and left hands and how the kids develop that. But if the child is not showing favorite hand, let them go through it, because by age of 4 and 5, they will start to develop their preference hand. Don't try to say, oh no, you have to write with your right hand and stop it and all that kind of things that we hear. But let them, if they choose to write with the left hand, let them write with the left hand. This is their preference hand that they are using. They're capable of using the scissors. So they use the scissors, but they don't have over control to do the turn and the circle and all that. That's all practice. The more you give, you might start giving them safety scissors, of course. So, but you might start giving them Play-Doh, for example, and scissors, and they start to do that, and that's easy, and it strengthens their hands muscles. They go upstairs and down the stairs without support, so they can go the stairs up and down without support. They may begin to copy some capital letters, so you start to teach them their names, so Marcus M. Capital letters is easier for them. They draw a person with two, they draw a person with two or with full body, heads, legs, hands, feet, eyes, mouth, nose. They can throw the ball overhead. They can move forward and backwards with ease. So 49 to 60 months, they copy triangles, squares, and other patterns as well. So if you put a pattern in front of them, they can copy exactly the patterns there. They are capable of doing that. They're capable of dressing and undressing themselves. They're also capable of choosing what they dress. So if your child wants to dress themselves, they can do it. It's nice. It's good self-help skills. They hop, swings, and climbs. So take them to the park, let them be. Let be around them, but don't stop them from climbing and, you know, jumping and hopping. Just be around them, but don't stop them from doing it. stand on 1 foot for 10 seconds or longer. That's from 52 to 58. They can draw a person with a body in the same details. Okay, so we move into social emotional, which is actually big social emotional. I actually focus on that very, very much more than physical, because the way we respond to the kids' need is what shapes the kids and their personality become more influenced by the way that we react to them. So, yes. All people, left hand side,
smarter.
The intelligent part of the children is not measured by that. Like you could have a child that is intelligent child and they exaggerating in other areas, but the intelligence is not measured by like how they can read or write or how they express. You might have a child that is really extremely gifted in music. You might have a child that is extremely gifted in maths, but not so good in English. You might have a child that is very smart in all areas and exaggerating in all areas. So it's not really the intelligence and how intelligent they are and how smart they are is not determined by which hand they use. It's what strength they have. So they might be really very good in music or sport or English or maths or science, but it's the interest that they have more than anything else. So, in summary, I'll give you this to read up from too, but in summary, the way you will respond to babies, responding to babies' cues, and it's really, really important. There's some helpful tips at the end of this, so the bottom of the page. The way you respond to your baby matters. So always respond to your baby in a caring way. We always hear when the child cry, they all always say, oh, leave them to cry, don't rush, don't go quick, they get used to this. That is wrong. If the baby cry, respond to them immediately. Why? Especially in a very young age. Why? It's because they learn to trust. They learn to trust you. The faster you respond to the baby, the more trust they have on you. They know that you're going to come to them when they need you. But the longer they wait, the longer they cry, they don't have concept of time, so they don't know when are you going to attend to them. So the longer you make them wait, the harder it becomes. So when the baby is crying, respond to them. Don't leave them to cry and control sleep and all that kind of stuff. The latest research shows that you respond to baby immediately. So when you respond quickly to his need, he begins to count on you. Talk to your baby with your baby and copy his sound. So if the baby started to make a sound, talk to them. Is that what you're trying to tell me? You want to change your nappy. And this and that, you're hungry. I know, mommy's here to feed you. Let's prepare this together. Mommy's coming, so the baby knows that you're communicating with them. Use every moment like bathing, feeding, to connect in a special way. So all routine time is the time to connect with your baby. It's not like I'm going to change a baby and that's it, next I'm going to feed him, next I'm going to put them to bed. It's routine time is the best time to connect with your babies. Smile, laugh, and take an interest in what the child's doing as much as possible. I know we all get through hard times sometimes, and the stress of life comes to us. But the more you do this with your babies, the much better connection you will have, the much better bond you will have with your children, and later on with life, it will be much easier to guide this, and they'll be more open with you because they've already built this bond from an early age. So even if they are babies, they're not talking, but they still communicate, which we will see after. So you are creating a secure connection and bond with your baby. A secure baby will grow up to be more confident person. So they'll be more confident. Your emotions can affect your baby, and they are learning from you. So 0 to 3 months, they can display the emotion of distress and sadness. You can see the baby if they're distressed or sad. They're capable of showing interest, and you can see that in their eyes. So when you start to get them a new toys or sing them a new song, you find their eyes is just bright and it opens up, and this is how they show their interest. They express disgust, they show frustration and anger, so that's why they cry. They're capable of imitating emotional faces, so if you go like this, or if you smile, they smile. So they're capable of doing that. 0 to 5 months, begin to develop social smile, so they smile. And that's why they say to the mothers and the fathers, smile to your baby all the time. Enjoy social play with caregivers. So they enjoy so much the interaction. The social emotional overview for 6 to 12, stop me if I'm going so fast. So overview from 6 to 12 months, they become interested in mirror image. So if you put them in front of the mirror, they can actually become so interested. Begin to show emotion of fear. So the children begin to show the emotions of fear from 5 to 8 months. Develop a stronger preference for people and toys. So they know that this is auntie and this is uncle and the immediate people that they see all the time. And toys as well, so they like certain toys. Certain teddy bear, certain toys that make sounds. So they begin to test parental response from, this is a good one. They start to test the parents. So if they start to crawl or touch, for example, some popular one is a socket, and you go like, the second time they know this is a no-go zone, before they go there, they look at you. So they start to learn and check your response.
When do they start doing it when you say no?
Well, you have to be consistent.
And if you are, when do
they? It's just gently, it's a no, 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 no. They'll get it. That's it. Gently and calmly, it's a no, and stick by it. There's no, in saying that, you need to be lax. Safe around the home, so get the safety bugs and all that, but they will learn and they'll get it when you are consistent. Consistency in a calm and strict manner is what it matters. So they will know it, they will do it, because you are consistent. Prefer primary caregiver above all others. So that's because they already build that secure attachment. They know that you know them when they're hungry, they know them, or you know them when they're tired, when they need to sleep. So they prefer primary caregiver. Now the next one is important, which is separation and anxiety increase. So They think that separation and anxiety increase at that age because they already established that strong attachment. They know the permanent caregiver so well, so if you leave them with a stranger, they already build that attachment to you. So if they build this attachment, you put them in a whole new environment, for example, start of childcare, or leaving them with your neighbors or with your friends, it's not going to be easy at that age. However, there's a way to do it, there's a way you go around it, but it's going to be hard. And they grow out of it and they grow older. So for example, if you are somewhere and your child is always clinging to you, and this is a lot of people goes ask a question about this, oh, my child wants to love someone else, or they won't go to someone else. But if you found actually that stranger person comes to them and talk from far, and start talking from far, they start to know that that person is okay. And then they start bit by bit to interact with them. But if the stranger comes and takes your baby straight away, they don't know them. So of course they'll be very anxious about being with someone that they've never seen before. So we got overview of 12 to 24 months. Any questions so far? So baby begin to develop self-awareness. So he found the babies, even from younger age, they start looking at their hands, they start pulling their hands, touching their toes. They start hearing their own noise when they go like, and all this kind of stuff. So begins to show defined behavior at 16 to 24 months. So you would say to your child, don't touch that socket. They want to touch it because they want to see why I shouldn't, and they want to explore it. So they go back and do it, and they go back and do it, and they go back and do it. They're very defined, so they do what they want to do. Okay, in between 17 to 16 months, they demonstrate increasing independence from the parents. So they would go around the house and explore. So if you are in the kitchen cooking, they can be sitting down, and if you are in a park, they can go, play, and then come back to you because you are the symbol of security around them. So they start to let go a little bit and become independent, but they still come back to you. So be there for them, reassure them that you're there, you can see them. But don't stop them, like, oh, don't go there and like chase them around and stop them doing it. Let them go, let them explore, but be around them. So from 19 to 24 months, separation and anxiety fades. It doesn't go, it doesn't totally go, but it fades, it becomes less. Because they start to see more people around, they become exposed to different faces, it fades, but it doesn't go. Children start school and they still have that separation and anxiety. The question is, if the child start childcare or school, when you expect that to fade or go? I'm sure there's people from childcare backgrounds here that support this. When you start them into a new environment, you need to do it gradually. So don't, say if you're starting next month at childcare, start visiting, spending some time. If it takes more than 3 months of him, still, you know, I'm talking about really, really intense separation and anxiety. So crying, constantly crying, not stopping, crying when you get talked, crying when, you know, drop them off. After 3 months, so I would say, if they're not settled by 3 months in childcare centers or school, then you start to investigate why aren't they? Are they involved in activities? Are they connecting with the parents? Are they enjoying their times? Because if they are, the separation will go down. But if they are not enjoying it, they are not connecting, they don't feel secure, the separation and anxiety. Alright, I'm gonna just put a little video clip to illustrate what we said so far, especially responding to baby's cues. With what, sorry?
Baby's watching TV or looking at the iPad screen.
Screen time, okay.
How strict do we have to be?
Well, you kind of thought you need to have a system in place because you're going to carry that, or I would give it maximum 20 minutes a day. There's so much more they can do, so much more they can do. They don't need, I mean, in our days we didn't have any screens and we still achieved well, we still become who we are. So there's a lot that they can do. So interactions is much better than the screen. I would recommend the whole entire day, 20 minutes, and that's a lot. Because they want you, or they're doing that because they need someone there. So if she's doing that to take your attention, then you will go back. Chloe, it's time to sleep. Sorry, I'm not Chloe. It's time to sleep now. Mommy's going to go to bed to sleep. You will back her, settle her, leave her, and then go back to bed. We say control time, cry time, not more than 10 minutes. That's long, yes. Yes, that is long. That's
right. If I go in.
Yeah. You go in, but sometimes baby wakes up and they put back themselves, they put themselves back to sleep. We don't leave them 10 minutes, but I'm saying the longest you can leave them is 10 minutes. And it depends, are they crying like or they're really crying? You know, if they're just making, you know, a noisy and they know that you're coming and they're not really crying hard. With tears and screaming and getting themselves really worked out and upset, don't leave it to that point. Just go, settle her, come back. You can leave it for a while, but if you think it's going to get out of hand, then, or she's going to work herself out and cry a lot, then you go before she reaches that stage. But 10 minutes is long, but we say 10 minutes.
If I do that 3 years ago, but she's still so much.
Yeah, because she feels secure with you. That's the whole thing. Sometimes it comes with security. You become a circle of security for her. You might, with 3 years old, we say to emotional coach them around this. We can do emotional coaching some other time. But emotional coaching is where you try to find the reason why your child is doing that. So she might think there's a monastery memory. It's dark. She's scared. She doesn't feel secure. That's why she's coming back to sleep with mom and dad, because you are the circle of security around her. So you need to find that and have a bedtime routine. It's very, very important. We were going to talk about that in learning and language development, but having a routine is really extremely important, especially at that age. Of course, before, but at 3 years of age, they know bedtime, I'm going to brush my teeth, dad is going to read me a book, I'm going to say goodnight to dad, I'm going to sleep, I'm going to take my toys to cuddle, I'm going to say a little prayer. So have a routine time to settle and soothe her down before she goes to sleep. Now, if she seeks your attention through the night, I would suggest that you go back. Dad is here for you. Mom is here for you. They need to feel that even if when she isn't her bed, you are there for her. It might take you, it's hard. It is very, very hard. And I know exactly how hard it is because I have two children. I mean, they're 19 years old now. I know how hard it is to wake up after a long day, going back to work second day. It's extremely hard. But the thing is, the faster you do this, you deal with it, the much better it gets. Then you'll have your whole night's sleep, you'll have another night's sleep. So find out, I wonder what makes you don't want to sleep on your bed. You know? Ask me questions, see why she said. Normally there's an emotion behind. Either she's scared, and a lot of kids have a lot of fear around that age. Dogs, cats, dogs, all this kind of stuff. So if she's scared to be alone, she feels that she's secure with you. Then you can be spending more time. That is going to be spend 5 more minutes with you in bed. You know, I'm going to read you a story. You know, all this kind of stuff. That's settling and calms her down. If she wakes up, then take her back to her room and say, "Dad is here. Okay, let's sleep." It's, you know, just reassure her that this you're there for her. She needs to know that you're there for her. I advise you to go back to her. Because what happens is they build it, as I said, they in 0 to even 1 after, they say 0 to 6 months, but even after that, they are building this attachment, the secure attachment. They call it trust versus mistrust. So she still feels more secure when you are around her. She's building this attachment, she wants this interaction, and if you leave stuff and go back to her, spend some time and play, she will be content with that. And then you will have about 10 minutes to go do something else and come back to her. Don't wait for her to call on you or seek your attention. But when she seeks your attention, I had a very good video, but we don't come, sorry. I can play it next time. When she needs your attention, either you are on the phone or doing something important or anything, I would suggest to leave it and attend to them. Because they build trust. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, she's seeking your attention, absolutely wrong. Yeah. But you will know if she's doing that for just attention seeking or she needs you to be there. Yeah. But even if attention seeking, still attend to them. Any other questions? Yeah? Any comments? Any corrections? Okay. Thank you so much for listening to me. And I hope this was of benefit. I'll prepare a lot more, but it's very hard to cover 0 to 5 in 45 minutes. Normally we do it in a couple of sessions. I'm happy to come back if you need anything. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.